If my mother had gotten her way, my siblings and I would have never been born. She was so afraid of what might happen if she married Homer that she tried to call off their wedding just weeks before the ceremony. "Too late," her father said, as the August 1951 date drew near. The invitations had already been mailed. Besides, he wasn't going to allow her to embarrass the family by doing something so crass. "Don't blame me," my mother would tell us when Homer exploded in a rage or danced around the breakfast room table in one of Grandma's sequined hats. "I tried to get out while the getting was good." But we heard them giggling in their bedroom often enough to know how she really felt. Night after night, Homer chased my mother around the kitchen, pinching her butt, throwing his arms around her waist, and kissing her cheeks. She pretended not to like it, rolling her eyes and pushing him away. But no one bought her little act. I caught them dancing in the living room late one night, while Peggy Lee's smoky voice wafted from the hi-fi, promising the best is yet to come. My mother wrapped her arms around my father's neck and sank her head into his chest like she was melting right into him. She loved playing the straight man in their romantic comedy routine. "Want a roll?" my mother would ask Homer as she handed him a basket of bread at dinner. He'd wiggle his eyebrows, lean into her, and whisper, loudly enough for us all to hear, "Think we have time?" I always assumed that my mother wanted to back out of their engagement because she was nervous about what a nut my father was. Wild Bill, as he was widely known, was so hyper as a boy that when the Dust Bowl fires stretched all the way to the woods of northern Wisconsin in the early 1930s, he would try to run toward the fire wagons. Fearful for his safety, his mother would dress him up like a girl, figuring that he'd be too embarrassed to go outside and be seen in a frilly frock. When that didn't work, she tied him to a tree. One of the nuns who taught him at St. Robert's School in Shorewood, Wisconsin, grew so tired of his shenanigans that she slammed him up against a wall, hard enough that the clock hanging above him stopped and never started again. Homer proudly claimed the nuns kept the timepiece up there for years as a warning to the other children about what could happen to them if they were as incorrigible as Bill Kissinger. But Homer's feistiness wasn't the only reason my parents almost didn't get married. My mother also worried about what Homer would think if he knew the truth about her. My parents were fixed up on a blind date in the early spring of 1950 by Grandma, my father's mother of all people. Homer was in his first year at Marquette University Law School, compliments of the GI Bill. My mother was teaching kindergarten at the Brown Street School in the poorest section of Milwaukee, to children with disabilities, many of them the sons and daughters of immigrants, with names like George Washington and Christopher Columbus. Grandma, who fancied herself a skilled matchmaker, spied my mother at St. Monica Catholic Church as she was returning to the pew after receiving communion one Sunday morning, and the wheels began to turn. She knew about my mother from Bill Dorward, her new son-in-law. His parents played bridge with my mother's parents. Grandma figured that this Jean Guttenkunst would be an excellent catch for her boy. "Nice family," Bill Dorward confirmed, rubbing his thumb against the side of his index finger. "A lot of this stuff." It was true. My mother grew up in Fox Point, one of the more exclusive suburbs of Milwaukee, where her father, Charlie Guttenkunst, was a village trustee.